want you to join me in a private study, somewhat for myself. I want you to join me in a, I guess you could say, an adventure around the then known world. I want us to look at Paul's example of Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10, which we'll take a look at in a minute here. And our primary text will be 2 Timothy. This particular photo here goes with Acts 20, 30 to 31. Speaking of Paul, he stayed 2 full years in his own rented quarters and was welcoming all who came to him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching concerning the Lord Jesus Christ with all openness unhindered. He is chained, though, to a prison guard. So he is not free to go, but yet this particular house arrest, so to speak, is different than what he had most of the time, even though this is 2 years. And in fact, when I think John McCrae in this book, Paul, His Life and Teachings, which is, to me, is an excellent book, he talks about 25% of Paul's time as ministering for Christ, about 1/4 of the time he has spent time in prison. And so it is something that we look at. Here is mostly house arrest. Here he was able to, but he paid for this himself to be able to have this, but it's not always been like this. And in fact, even though it's like this, it's still not easy. In Philippians chapter 1, verses 13 to 14, he says, "So that my imprisonment in the cause of Christ has become well known throughout the whole praetorium guard and to everyone else, and that most of my brethren, trusting in the Lord because of my imprisonment, have far more courage to speak the word of God without fear." He will go on to say, and be honest about the choice of living and doing this or dying and going back home to the Father. And in his course of that struggle, which is so sincere, he realizes that there's much work more that he can do, even though he's chained and in prison. Then we get to Revelation chapter 2, verse 10, we get to 2 Timothy, the book of 2 Timothy. We take a look at Revelation 2 and verse 10. It says, "Do not fear what you are about to suffer. Behold, the devil is about to cast some of you into prison, so that you will be tested, and you will have tribulation for 10 days. Be faithful unto death, and I'll give you the crown of life." I understand this is written after the time of Paul here, more than likely, but I'm using this passage to show Paul's great example of what this passage is all about. We're going to look at a few times that Paul is afraid. We're not actually told he's afraid until we're told that God tells him, "Don't be afraid." God's not going to tell him, "Don't be afraid," if he isn't afraid. I was looking at the songs that Roger selected and wanted to kind of work them in. You know, "Tell It to Jesus Alone." "Tell These Things to Jesus," I believe. "Tell It to Jesus." Obviously, Paul has told Jesus that he was afraid. But don't fear what you're about to suffer. You're going to be cast. Some of you are going to be cast into prison. You will be tested. The tribulation for 10 days, that doesn't mean 10 literal days. It means a short period of time, which is a short period of time in terms of eternity. There's going to be more or less of those, but you're going to suffer. You're going to suffer. You're going to be cast into prison. You're going to be tested. So will you be faithful? Or will you take that test by God that can turn for good and turn it into a temptation that can be turned for evil? How are you going to deal with it? Jesus is telling them, you be faithful. You be faithful right up to the time that you die. And if you do that, I'll give you the crown of life. Paul writes about that very same thing. So let's take a look here. A glance at 1 and 2 Timothy and Titus gives us the itinerary for Paul's release from the first time he's in prison, where we get so many of our letters, such as got to eat popcorn, Galatians, Ephesians, well, not Galatians, but Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, those letters that he wrote while he was in prison. Now he's out. Let's look at the itinerary based on what you see on the slide. First, we see that he wants Titus to go to Crete. He wants Titus to teach more, appoint elders there at Crete. Titus 1:5. We see that Trophimus is left at Miletus. And Trophimus is going to be someone that's of service, but he's sick right now. And he's left there at Miletus. Miletus was the place that Paul had come on his way to deliver the monies to Jerusalem that we talked about in class. And he called the elders of Ephesus, which you can see, and that's our next stop here, where Timothy is going to be there at Ephesus. Then we see Troas. Troas is where Paul has his coat, his book, his books, and his paper. And we're going to get to another map that's going to put a name there for that. But he wants Timothy to pick that up and bring it to him. That's going to be when he gets arrested. But whatever reason, Paul leaves Troas without this stuff. What that tells us is that he knows he's about to get in trouble again because we have a crazy Caesar or Nero that's in power. And so for him to leave all that stuff, they must be closing in on something that's going to happen. We see he goes into the Macedonia area where 1 Timothy and Titus, those books are written, and then Erastus is down there in Corinth, and he's an elected official, and he's mentioned there. Erastus. Well, I lost the passage. You can read of him in the Corinthian letters, and also the book of Acts. Now Paul calls for Titus to come to Nicopolis. And then Artemus or Tychius is going to go down to where he was at. So Titus, back up here, Titus is in Crete, but now Paul wants him up here in Nicopolis. And Titus 3:12 and 13, when I send Artemus or Tychius to you, make every effort to come to me at Nicopolis, for I have decided to spend the winter there. And so what we see is Paul kind of moving these people around. And there's a couple things I'm trying to convey in my mind that I want to say is Paul had this networking of brother that he loved, that loved him, that were preachers, that were moving around. So it's not like, you know, us going to Alabama or going to Rockford. I mean, these people are being moved in difficult areas, and the moving was difficult. But we see Paul here having such a great concern, not only for these brethren, but for the brethren at the places where they were at. This is his life and his concern. And so what he feels best is to have Titus come up there to Nicopolis, and now I'm going to replace you with Artemas Artichius. So it depends on, you know, which one he can get to go down there. But somewhere close by, he's arrested. And he is, and exactly when or where he's arrested, we're not told, but the timing is around this period of time, and he's sent back to Rome. And now we have 2 Timothy. And we don't have that pretty picture of him dressed nice and chained and all the people. We have the other one in the dungeon. We have that. In Paul's letter to Rome earlier, he said he wanted to go to Spain. He kept talking about Spain was where he wanted to go, which is you keep going west there. In Romans 15:28, that was one of his desires. Now Clement, which we have his writings from 96 AD, says that he was able to do that. And when, I don't know, or how. But when Paul wrote the letter that we know as 2 Timothy, the situation is just dramatically different from 1 Timothy. He's now this prisoner, and he's facing certain death. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 4. And verse 6 says, I'm already being poured out as a drink offering. Time of my departure has come. This was before, or was because, I should say, this is because of the vicious persecution that Nero started. And history shows that he was responsible for the burning of Rome around 64 AD. And he blamed it on the Christians. I think I've shown this before here. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 11:23, way before this, he says, far more imprisonments, beaten times without number, often in danger of death. This is called Mamertine prison. It's in Rome where Paul was kept. And I'm going to read a little bit about this. This photo here shows the upper level. And the prisoners would go down there. Guards would be here. They would come down through there. This just gives you an idea of the size or the how small it is. Now you're not getting daylight. You're getting cold, damp in the winter, muggy, hot in the summer. You would be beaten. It would smell. It would be crowded. They even put women in there. A Roman writer in 40 BC described this place about 12 feet deep, closed all around by strong walls, a stone vault. Its aspect is repugnant, fearsome, dark, stench. It was originally built as a cistern to house a spring, but then the Romans repurposed it into a prison, and they would be lowered down that hole that you see, you know, in the top one there, or you see up above in the bottom one. I'm going to read from John McCrae just a little bit about this. You know, Revelation 2:10 says you're going to suffer hardships. You're going to be cast into prison, but you need to be faithful. We know Paul is a great example of that. Here is part of that example. Before he would be put down into that hole, when he was arrested the second time, he would get a flogging. We've talked about those floggings. We've talked about those leather strips with stones or hooks that would be done. And it would be done in public, and they would be their clothes would be taken off. So the humility of being naked and getting this flogging. inside the prison then, they didn't really care. They pushed them down the hole, and many times they would be in chains as well. So you think about the flogging, you think about the humiliation, you think about being pushed down there, the smell, the cold, the hot, no light, pain. So many times prisoners wanted to commit suicide and begged for the guards to kill them, but they would be suffer death if they assisted in suicide. So they would beg for this, for death. You're not going to go get a haircut. I mean, you see the bathroom facility. And so, food, any of that, that's expected to be brought by those you know. Otherwise, you're going to get the slop of the slop. But if you want clothes, if you want food, then somebody's going to have to provide that for you. This is what 2 Timothy is about. When we take a look at the outline of 2 Timothy, it is of sound doctrine. In 2 Timothy 1, the first chapter, let's look at the first 5 verses. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, according to the promise of life in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father, Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve with a clear conscience, the way my forefathers did, as I constantly remember you in my prayers night and day, longing to see you, even as I recall your tears, so that I may be filled with joy. For I am mindful of the sincere faith within you, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am sure that it is in you as well. For this reason, I remind you to kindle afresh the gift of God, to kindle afresh, to get that zeal that we've been talking about there. This sound words that are talked about in verse 13. Verse 3 of chapter 4, the people are not going to endure sound doctrine. The theme of 2 Timothy is sound doctrine. In chapter 1, Paul says to hold on to it. Hold on to that sound doctrine. In verse 6 of chapter 1, he says, I remind you, I'm reminding you, to kindle afresh. In verse 8, he says, do not be ashamed. In verse 12, he says, I'm not ashamed. In verse 16 to 18, we see Onesiphorus here was not ashamed, and he was refreshing. Because the picture that I painted you of Paul being beaten, thrown in that hole, in darkness, cold, hot, who knows what he's all seeing and hearing. Don't be ashamed of me. Wouldn't we kind of feel that way? Now, he's not down there because he got a DUI. He's down there because he's preaching about Jesus Christ and him crucified. In fact, he's thankful for that, to do that. In verse 13 of chapter 1, he says, retain the standard of sound words which you heard from me in the faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. So that sound doctrine, chapter 1, hold on to it. Chapter 2, he says, teach it. Look at verse 1, and let's begin 1 through 3. You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. The things which you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust these to faithful men who will be able to teach others. Suffer hardship with me as a good soldier of Christ. only is he saying, you teach it, Timothy, but you help others teach it. You see, the concern that I see that Paul has, that sometimes I think we are neglecting, is planning for the future, is planning for others to teach. Because Loy and I are not always going to be here to teach. Someone's got to come in and teach at some point in time. Someone's got to come in and lead singing. If this church is going to keep going, we need to grow and people need to step up and learn how to teach the sound words. That's part of being faithful unto death. That's part of the care. That's part of this fight that a soldier, a good soldier, does and has. In verse 9, he says, verse 8 and 9, remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, descendant of David, according to my gospel, for which I suffer hardship, even to imprisonment as a criminal, but the word of God is not in prison. Let's picture in our mind this man being faithful unto death. And he is saying the word of God's not chained. It's not chained. Teach it. Chapter 3, abide in it. You hold on to it, Timothy. You teach it. You get others to teach it, and you abide in it. Look at verse 1 of chapter. Realize this, that in the last days, difficult times will come. Can you imagine writing that in the state that he's in? Difficult times will arise. Yeah, it's going to become more and more of this happening to Christians. So if you want to be faithful, if you find it hard to be faithful today, imagine trying to be faithful then. But God expects that. It's not something that he pats us on the back. This is what he expects. This is the grace of God giving us that opportunity to suffer for him. And I need to remember that. We need to remember that. Look at verse 10 of chapter 3. Now you followed my teachings, conduct, purpose, faith, patience, love, perseverance. Persecutions and suffering such as happened to me at Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra. What persecutions I endured, and out of them all the Lord rescued me. Indeed, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. You have to continue in what you learn. Verse 14. You, however, continue in the things you have learned and become convinced of knowing from whom you have learned them. He mentions the childhood once again. And all scriptures inspired as he continues in it. You hold on to sound doctrine. You teach it. You abide in it. Meanwhile, Paul's in a dark hole. And then lastly, he says, preach it.